You will. Okay. Stacy, we're glad you're here now. Everything's worked out. All right, cool. We understand all that. So, all right. And so Immaculate Conception did not happen this week. Many of you asked, like, did you hide it? And I was like, well, you know, I mean, I could hide if I'm, well, I'm just kidding. We are fostering. I know you all know that journey, but many have asked, like, did it happen without us knowing? Like, no, she hasn't been pregnant. And so anyway, we have two little kids, and who knows who else we'll have or how it'll happen. We kind of surprised our parents-in-law who are with us today. Glad to have both of you, and Pastor Don's with us, and Mom, good to have you. So you can't really tell your parents when they get to a certain age certain things, and so because they worry. Are you all at that age where you just worry about your children? Well, today we're going to talk about worry, and we're going to give it over to God because it's one of the concerns. And also, I want to welcome Stacy and Joey's family. Thank you so much for being here with us today to celebrate this first day of this incredible partnership. And so, church, make sure and love on them, row 1, 2, and 3, and make sure and just give them a good AFC welcome. But today we're going to be in two places in the scripture, and we're going to kind of start this series. Nathan and Heather, we're glad you're back safe and here, and we need to pray for Nathan. He has surgery on Thursday, pretty serious, and so we'll make sure and love on you guys during that time too, but welcome back. Glad you're here and praying for you Thursday. So we're going to look at two places. What I want to do in these next couple of weeks is show you what Jesus has to say. And what I've learned is people over the years as a pastor, they come to me and say, but Jesus. Because I say, well, why don't you look at the words of Jesus and how he lived? And people say, but that's Jesus, you know? I mean, how can we be like Jesus? Even though he said, go and do greater than me. Even though he said, be holy as I am. I mean, even though he said those things, sometimes we like to say, well, that's Jesus, so I can't. So what I did was, to cut that out, I said, why don't we look at Jesus and Peter? How's that sound? So now if you don't want to listen to Jesus, then you're going to have to listen to Jesus and Peter, and any excuses after that, well, then we'll just have to pray through those. How's that sound? All right, y'all with me today? Well, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and on, and we're going to kind of just start it out, and then we'll look to Peter in a little bit. So starting in verse 25, if you would stand with me this morning for the reading of God's Word. Now, most of your Bibles, it's going to be titled, Do Not Be Anxious. And I have to admit that this really has hit me as I've studied, as I've looked at what John Wesley and others have to say about this topic. I would have to say that I have not overcome this as much as I would like to say that I have. Jesus said these words, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is it not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father, and here's what I want you to hold on to today because this is where we're going to be, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And this is the question of the day. Are you not of more value than they? Heavenly Father, God, we come before you right now, and we pray. God, we pray today that we will understand the value that we have in your kingdom. God, help us to understand not only the value that we have, but the plans. And God, worry comes in and destroys those things. And so today, we're going to come against destruction, and we're going to say, build up. We're going to say, God, help us to cast out. And we're going to say today, help us to move forward, trusting you fully. We love you. We pray against the enemy in this time, and we ask that your full power would come and that these words would be your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so let's just get a base around this first, okay? What are the three W's of worry? Y'all ever worry? I mean, let's just be real here today. We can be a little relaxed. It's still the summer, and I'm pretty sure many of you spend some time worrying. Have you ever spent some time worrying when your bowels say in the middle of the night it's time to get up and relieve them, but then you let them be relieved, and right away, what comes in? Are you not with me? Your bowels, like the bowels, your continence, is that the word? Y'all with me? In the middle of the night, you never get up to use the potty? See, in our house, it's the potty, and I get up to use the potty, and oftentimes, I go back to my bed, and it goes from my bowels or my pottying. See, it's potty in our house with six little ones, right? And then I move to my bed, and my what starts? My mind. Unfortunately, oftentimes, probably 5 out of 10, when I come back from going, what did y'all think I said? No, I really meant to say it. For those of you that are guests, just, I don't know, judge off of Pastor Gary or somebody else, but just let it roll and don't act like I'm here. But anyway, you can go to their Sunday school class and anyway, get taught by them in September. But here we go. I don't know about you, but I get up to go to the bathroom and I don't go back to sleep because of my mind. I'm just being real with you. Does that make sense? Y'all ever done that, gone to the bathroom and never went back to sleep, and it wasn't because you couldn't? It was because your mind started, because you're worried about kids, you're worried about stuff, finances, life, and then before you know it, 5:30 rolls around and it's time to get up anyway. And so here's the thing, when you look at worry, when does it happen? When does the enemy get you in that train of thought? What is it that you worry about? See, church, today I want you to start identifying those things. Start calling them what they are. Start saying to the enemy, no, not today. Whatever it is, I'm going to pass it on to God and I'm going to trust his words. And then why do we worry is going to be the last question we kind of ask ourselves today. Because if we trust, then what God's been speaking to me is why. So if you really trust me, then why are you in this state of worry? And so that's kind of the turning point for today. So many people say when you begin to look at what Christ says about this, what the disciples say about this, we get it confused. We look at concern and we look at worry and we have a hard time deciphering the two. So let's just start out by understanding. See, concern is when I have an issue that is troubling me, but I'm setting forth a plan to take care of it. See, if we go to our Lord, he is going to give us a plan to take care of it. Worry is when the concern begins to control. When the concern causes you to lose your ability to cope. Now, we're not talking about chemical imbalances today. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about those things that pop up and all of a sudden go from a concern that we have no way to deal with into worry, and then before we know it, it controls us. And I have to be honest, there's been like one or two things that the Lord's convicted me in this week, actually two, I don't want to say one or two, two things that in this past year, and it wasn't me almost dying, it was two other things that I spent a lot of time worrying about, that I stayed up at night, where she would turn and say, why are you still awake? And why are you talking to yourself? And why are you on your phone? And why are you? And I would say, and she said, I already know. I know why you're up. That's why I'm asking you. Stop. The Lord was saying, stop. But I didn't. And as I've learned this week, Jesus spoke a command in this. It wasn't when you feel like not being anxious. It was, do not be anxious. It actually translates as a command. I tried to untranslate it, but it didn't work. See, concern turns to worry when it moves into the space of our lives of becoming the controlling factor within us. And I think all of us have common ground in this today, that at some place in our life, that has taken over. You like being torn in two? That's what worry does. You put on a face to everybody else, but really what's going on inside of you? You go to Jesus and you leave that concern or that worry behind, and all of a sudden your body, your flesh, your mind, your heart becomes more torn in two because the worry takes over. Here's something interesting that I learned this week as I studied John Wesley and others. They consider it to be pride in oneself. That's crazy, right? See, we don't like this slide. Don't take a picture of it. Don't write it down. Because we want to say it's that issue or it's not us. See, what it is it's pride in ourselves enough to say that God isn't good enough to take care of. See, what we're saying is I've got to manage it because you don't quite understand it. See, what we're saying is, well, we know you said it, Jesus, and not only did you say it, but your disciples, but I've got to take a hold of this one. Because in this season, the only way I'm going to get through it is if I take a hold of it. It's also, and here's something that hit me this week, is it's the evidence of what's inside of you. It's the evidence of what was inside of me in those moments where I worried the most. So two things I want you to hold on to today. Pride in oneself, evidence of one's inner faith. All right, you ready? Why don't you head to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. He says this, humble yourselves. Now I love this. Oftentimes the disciples do this. They tell us to first humble before we receive. Why? Because it takes the self out and we receive what it is that Christ has for us. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, he says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under. So here's the greatest part. He doesn't just say, humble yourselves and walk forward. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, before and under the mighty hand of God. See, now think about your worry and those things that keep you up. Imagine if immediately when those thoughts came, we spoke the scripture that says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And then allow your head to go back to your pillow and rest because he cares for you. And that's where God's been convicting me. Do I not care enough about you to... All right, so let's really get started. Jesus and Peter, they're saying something to us. They're letting us know, right? I mean, Jesus spoke this on early on in his ministry saying, hey, guess what's going to happen? You are going to be anxious. You're going to worry. Peter's saying, hey, I get it. It's going to happen. You're going to worry. In fact, there's a lot of things to worry about. There's a lot of things to be concerned about. There's going to be moments in your life when something comes and it changes everything. I don't know if you all remember this, but I still remember this. I was working with the developmentally disabled in a school and was teaching. And I can remember in the morning we would go to the group home to pick the kids up, to bring them to the school. And I can remember 9/11 as if it were yesterday. Now, I don't remember if you have seen this picture or remember this moment, but do you remember President George W. Bush sitting in the classroom and his chief of staff came and leaned over and said, President, do you remember this? The second plane has hit. America is under attack. Do you know that moment? No matter how you feel about him, that moment changed his life. And then not only did it change his life, but it changed everything. Church, oftentimes, when concern comes in, it changes everything. But see, here's what Peter and Jesus are saying to us. It doesn't change the care that I have for you. It doesn't change your eternity. It doesn't change our partnership. It doesn't change that your soul is still mine. Something else that I think is great about this scripture and what I thought about, and as I've studied this, I realize that you know what the enemy does? He doesn't not let us know, right? Most things that we're concerned about, we've had a warning prior to. Now, when you get married, you can just expect that warning to come from your wife. And so it has always come from my wife for the last almost 12 years, right? And so I just have it coming. I know. The enemy lets us know. Think about temptation that we give into. I promise you the Lord's been there, and I promise you the enemy said, hey, I'm going to let you know I'm coming. In fact, the scripture tells us that he's like a roaring lion. And guess what? You can hear a roaring lion just like you can probably hear me all throughout the church, right? You know it's coming. So get close to Jesus, the one who cares for you, as it comes. So when it comes, you can do what the scripture says, cast. Because he wants to destroy you. So what are the two things that Jesus and Peter says? Well, they kind of had a different approach. Jesus says, look to the birds. If you go further on in that scripture and you can start looking at it, he says, look to the birds. And I know you all are sick of hearing this from me, and in Sunday school especially sick, but over and over and over again, the scriptures tell us to look up. Now, he could have used a lot of examples, right? Because there's a lot of animals, there's a lot of birds, there's a lot of fish that take care of themselves. They're born, their instincts just work. It happens. Even our dogs have instincts that sometimes pop themselves up, and I didn't even realize it was in their instincts, and then I'm cleaning up the mess because it's just what they were bred for. And Jesus is saying to us here, you are bred to look up to me. He didn't just use birds as just a simple example. He used it once again to remind us of this theme that we need to look up in the midst of where we are, what we're facing, what we're encountering. We've got to look up. He didn't use an animal that would make us look around. He didn't use something under the ground so it'd make us look down. He didn't use an example that made us look to the water. He used an example to encourage us to look up. Church, are you getting this? Jesus is intentional, even in the smallest of words, and we miss it. And so we keep looking around, and Peter kind of took a different approach, but not really. He said, look to his mighty hand. And if we understand his mighty hand, oftentimes it said his outstretched hand. So when we look up, we experience and encounter his outstretched hand towards us. Whew. These words, these scriptures this week have brought me great comfort. And I hope today that they're starting to cause something in you that it brings you great comfort. So let's look up at the birds. So a couple of things that this means, and we don't like to use the terminology neuter, but when you translate it, it talks about neutering the former. So whatever it is that you're anxious about, whatever it is that's holding on to you, whatever it is that has you gripped in it, Jesus is saying, neuter it and look up. Cut it off and look up. Get rid of it and look up. He's saying it's a false theology of who you are. See, many of us hold on to a lot of theologies that aren't right, and Jesus is saying, get rid of them. Some of us step into marriages, and we have false ideas of it. Some of us step into relationships, and we have false ideas based of what we looked around in the world. Some of you step into a church and expect it to be something that it shouldn't be. Neuter those things that are not of him, that the enemy is trying. And then Jesus offers, if you go down in the scripture, he offers a lot more. He talks all about the glory, all about heaven. And so Jesus offers more. Jesus always offers more. Peter said, well, look to his hand. It's engaging. The outstretched hand is then to engage and bring in. Peter talked about it being strong, able to lift, able to exalt. The great thing about the end of this is casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And then previous, he says that Jesus wants to exalt you. See, we don't like to think about that. But in the right moment, in the right time, when we're partnered with him in the right ways, he is going to exalt us and allow us to be a part of his kingdom. So somewhat of a different approach on both sides. And here's the thing. I don't know. Do y'all like this? I don't like this. When people say you're worrying about something, they look at you and say, stop worrying. You know, you're going to your friend and you're like, hey, I'm sharing everything with you. And they look back at you. I don't know. My spouse does this. I share everything. And then she says, why are you worried about that? I'm like, because I should be, right? I'm the head. I got to take care of it. Well, why are you? See, she has a good way of looking to Christ and saying, well, we just have to. Or don't you hate that? You go to a friend and they say, stop worrying. But here's, I want to give you a little bit of a story to go with this. But we have been with her parents for about a week and a half now, or 2 weeks, and they kind of met up with us in our last half of camping, and they spoiled every night for the Olympics. And here's why. They're readers, and so in the morning, now you know Tokyo time and our time were different. In the morning, they would read all of the results, and they would walk around peaceful, and there were just a couple events that we were really excited about. And then all day I would think, should I check, should I not check? Should I check, should I not check? Why are they all at peace about the one thing that we're worried about? Well, that means maybe, or it means they don't care. I couldn't figure it out, and we would talk about it. And then at night, we would sit with our kids to teach them to appreciate these things, and they would sit on their phones, read the newspaper, and just chill with their, because they already knew what was happening. And then we would watch it and know. But they kind of spoiled it, so now you know, they spoiled it for us a little bit. But let me encourage you with something here. Think about that for a moment. When Jesus says, don't be anxious, you know why? Because he already knows. You know why? Because when the nighttime comes and the thought comes your way, guess who's already taken care of it? What if we started living with that kind of peace? And we said to them one night, well, why do you want to, well, we just want to watch it in peace and not have to worry about, makes some sense, right? Now, I wouldn't suggest doing that with everything, then it makes nothing fun, right? But here's the thing. When Jesus says, do not be anxious, he's saying because he got the morning newspaper and he knows what's coming. See, what if we started living like that? What if we started saying, okay, Jesus, I'm going to let you have this one because you're calling me to trust you. See, it's okay to say, don't worry about it when you know something about it. So think about a couple of things as we begin to kind of end here. First, you have to know what your value is to the king. It tells us here in Matthew that we're valuable to him. Aren't you more valuable than the birds in the sky? And so if you're more valuable and they're not worried, then why are? See, that belief determines your need to release or worry. See, you have to know today that each of us are in a different place. We could just generalize this sermon and say all of you shouldn't be worried. Here's the thing, though, if you're not living in obedience, you should be worried about being out of obedience. And then that worry should step into obedience, confession, repentance. And then you can step into living out it as well. See, the problem is when we're not living in obedience and we expect the peace, there's a problem that has to be worked out. So your value, your understanding of your value in the kingdom dictates your obedience, which dictates your worry. And so if you don't feel valuable in the kingdom, then you're not living fully for him, then you probably have something to, and that has everything to do with you and the King of Kings, and nothing to do with the situation. Something else. Do you really believe this? And this is where the Lord convicted me. Is what is within me strong enough to handle that which happens to me? Whew. Are you getting that? Meaning Jesus is in you? Do you believe enough that Jesus can handle that which is within you? Abby, if you would, I'm going to ask you to just come. So I like to end with what Jesus tells us. And so let's talk about proper time for a minute here. It's interesting, what Peter said. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I studied this for a while to really get what was happening here, to get what it translates, to understand what it's telling us. But there is a process to peace. There is a process to being able to cast all my concerns onto him before they step into being worrying. And here's the key. is that Jesus comes to meet with us, and guess what? He's with us all the time, but there's times where he wants to come and meet with us that are unique, that are the proper time, in the proper season, in the proper moment. When we're living in our worry, those moments pass, and we miss the opportunity. See, actually what Peter was saying here was that, hey, a lot of you are missing the seasons when Jesus is coming to visit you. Actually, what I'm saying here is that there are moments when the divine's going to come, and when you're consumed with, what are you consumed with? When you're torn in two, what are you? You're torn in two. When your mind isn't set on the things above, then your mind can't see the things above. In church, you can throw anything in there. You can say, you know what, I'm at peace with me, but I'm not at peace with the church, with society, with the United States, with the government, with the... I'm not saying don't do anything about those things, but there's a difference in living in peace and casting and moving all so that, think about proper time, fit time within the proper season of opportunity decided by the divine. And so when we're out and off kilter, that may not happen. And so in the middle of the night when you get up, or so when your chief of staff comes and says, basically what he said is, everything just changed for you. And you're the big man, I'm just passing the message on to you. And Jesus is saying to us, why not trust me? Because I already know. It's why I'm sitting at night while you're all hype and I'm relaxed. And so, as it stood then and as it stands now, look to me. And so ask yourself today, in all areas of your life, are you looking to him? And if not, do you want that kind of peace? To be able to just look to him and know that you know that you know that he's taking care of it. If that's your desire today, the altars are open. Abby's going to sing. If you could, just bow your heads, close your eyes. If you feel led, come. If you want to get on your knees, just come before him today and say, you know what? I don't have that peace. I spend all day worried about, concerned about. Yeah, when I get up, this is on my mind. Why not try taking those things and just today saying, I trust you because you're within me. And I know that because of your presence in me, that which is outside of me is not greater than me.
So Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. 'Cause without you, and I fall apart, 'cause you're the one that guides my heart. Oh, we need you, God. So, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need you, my one defense and my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. 'Cause where sin runs deep, 'cause your grace is more. Where grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free, 'cause holiness is Christ in me. So God, we need you. Oh, I need you in every hour. I need you. He's my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Let's give that to him today. So Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need you. My one defense is my righteousness. Oh God, how I need.
God, we thank you today that there's something, and that something is that mighty presence that through your sacrifice on the cross was opened up to freely reign. And so today the Spirit freely reigns, strengthens, encourages, speaks to, lifts up, carries us today. Something that, Jesus, as you spoke those words, they didn't fully get it yet. But then when Peter spoke those words, they got it. Because that Spirit that's still on the move today was on the move then. And so, Lord, let us go out today at peace, trusting that which is within us. We honor you today, and we pray that you would go out and go before us as we become your hands and feet. Bless our teachers today as they share. Encourage them, give them words of wisdom. And God, we just pray that your anointing would continue to fall on this church, in this area, on the properties down the street, in each home that we see as we walk out. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon.